absolutely just debilitates us. It puts us in a place of fear and doubt and stops us from moving forward on things that, quite frankly, could be a great blessing for us. So we stop these things. But if we commit ourselves to the Lord and establish our thoughts in Him, He will take care of us. But what happens is we allow, I've talked about this many times in the past, we allow the problems or issues in life to overtake us, and we continually fix our thoughts on that. And because we fix our thoughts on those things that overtake us, that put us in this place of depression or whatever, now all of a sudden our life is doom and gloom instead of the glory of God and the joy that's set before us. And this is something that takes people out every single day. So I got a word for you. It's kind of a fun word. The word is perseverate. It's a fun word to say. So everybody say the word perseverate. Perseverate. Perseverate is a fun word, but perseverate is also a bad word. Matter of fact, perseverate can be a really good word in the right sense, in the right light. But most of the time, we perseverate on things that we shouldn't. So the definition of perseverate means the overthinking on something, even though that something has passed, you still continue to fix your mind on it and think on it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And do you see a theme here? Over and over and over. See, the thoughts, these perseverating thoughts that we have are the things that keep us awake at night. These perseverating thoughts are the things that take us out of joy. These perseverating thoughts are the things that put us into doubt. These are the things that then lead us to a place of fear. When you're in worry, it's because you're perseverating. You're thinking over and over again on something that you probably shouldn't be thinking on, right? If you're not thinking on something that brings worry, do you have worry?
No.
Right? Right? So does this make sense? But as human beings, we just kind of just put ourselves in that predicament. You ever heard the saying? I'm sure you have. We are our own worst enemy. So things happen in life, and because this thing, fill in the blank, whatever it may be, we find ourselves thinking on things that we really should just stop thinking about. We really should just lay it down and walk away from it. It's kind of like when you're in worship or at the end of a service and they have an altar call and you go up before the Lord and you lay down whatever that burden may be and you start to walk away, and then all of a sudden you feel a little bit naked because you don't have the burden on you anymore, and you got so used to feeling how that burden felt on your shoulders that you kind of like, man, you become your own worst enemy and you want to go back and pick up the burden that you laid at Jesus' feet and put it back on because you just kind of got comfortable in it. Yep. But again, you're your own worst enemy. And again, that burden that you laid down was the thing that was causing you to have sleepless nights and worry and anxiety and fear and depression. All the stuff that belongs to the world, not to you in the kingdom of God. And you, at that point, although being a Christian and being saved, are now defeated. And the thing is the enemy's been defeated. So this true battle is within our own self. And see, the God I serve gave me a spirit that conquers that. And when we align ourselves with thinking and living and walking and moving in the Spirit of God, then we are not thinking, walking, and moving in the spirit of the world, the powers and principalities of darkness. And all of us have this choice. Do you see, every time I'm in worship thinking on the things of God, I am not depressed, I am not sad, I am not in worry, I am not anxious, every single time. If you have problems with anxiety and worry, I would say worship more. Put on the garment of praise. Listen to some worship music. If you're ever in an argument with a spouse or something like that, you need to reset yourself back. You need to take a step back. You need to turn your vision, your eyes, your thoughts, your sight to the Lord, and then step back in with a humble heart and work things out. But you see, every time that you step out in the flesh, you walk in the flesh, according to Galatians 5. And that is corruption. That is something that God doesn't want you to be in. Not because it's going to save you and bring you closer to Him, but because it's good for you. And it's good for the kingdom of God. I hope this makes sense. Anybody ever stay awake at night? Worrying? I want a real world show of hands if you worry at night and it keeps you awake. Look around, guys. I'm serious. Listen. You can put them down. You're not alone, right? But this is why I'm preaching on this. You see, a lot of the messages that I come up with, it's God dealing with me first, right? I'm not preaching this message because I have it all together. I'm preaching this message because I'm preaching to myself at the same time, right? I have trouble with sleep at times, man, because life happens. But I have to remind myself over and over again that when I am thinking on the things that are good, just, right, and noble, anything of a good report, when I think on those things, man, I am doing good. I am doing really, really good. In other words, no issues. Everything's good, man. And this entire world is filled with people who are having sleepless nights because we're allowing ourselves to get caught up in the things that we shouldn't allow ourselves to get caught up in. Who likes vacations? Yeah? Who's ever taken a vacation and you felt like you had to take a vacation from the vacation? Right? Yeah? Again, own worst enemy. Overthinking kills dreams. Overthinking something kills the dream. One of the greatest vacations my wife and kids and I were ever on is I was blessed to be able to take 21 days off from the hospital that I worked at. I had PTO saved up, and I was able to take 21 days off. And I had an old 1992 conversion van, and we took it to the shop and made sure we can get it all set up and good to go. And we were going to go on a road trip and drive to California. And in this road trip to California, I'm telling you what, we did not plan out anything. The only plan that I had is we were going to California and we needed to get back at a certain time. That was it. And it was the greatest vacation that we have ever been on. I have more accolades and talk more about this one vacation than I ever talk about being on a cruise or going on an all-inclusive resort or anything such as that, because this was so unplanned. It was so unrehearsed, and we just moved. We walked and drove in faith as children of God, newly saved, just a few years in the Lord, just driving down the road going, man, wanting to see the country. And I thought, well, we'll take the southern route there, and we'll take the mid route back. And on the southern route, we're driving, and we get into, I think, Missouri, and we saw clouds and just rainstorms right in front of us, and it was black, black, black. I mean, it was really torrential downpour. And Steph and I look at each other, and we're like, hey, we've learned that we have authority. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that that storm will part. And we're going down a few more miles, and we hit this hill. And as soon as we crest the top of the hill, and we're going over the top of the hill, we look, and it's like the storm was over here and over here. And we had a clear road all the way through and never hit the storm. And this whole entire vacation was like that. And we were just rolling. We didn't make plans for hotels. We would just stop and see if they had something open. And if it wasn't, then we would sleep in the van. But the thing is there was like always a place to stay. Matter of fact, we got into Arizona and we thought, you know what? I want the kids to see the Grand Canyon. Let's go to the Grand Canyon. We pulled into the Grand Canyon and it was busy. I mean, it was summer, so it was busy. And we're like, man, I wonder where we're going to stay. We go to a hotel, and I think it was the Grand Canyon Hotel or something like that. And we pull up and I go in. I was like, yeah, do you got a room? We just had one come open. They only had one room open, you know. And then we thought, well, this is cool. So we leave the Grand Canyon, had a fabulous time there. And we're going, I thought, you know, it'd be cool to see the Hoover Dam. I would just want to drive over the Hoover Dam. So right before it gets dark, we hit the Hoover Dam and we drive over the Hoover Dam. And everybody's like, ooh, cool, neat. And then from there, I thought, you know what? We're going into Las Vegas. Las Vegas would be really cool to see it at nighttime because of the lights. We pulled into Las Vegas right at dark, and we saw the lights, and that's a whole other story. Got the heck out of Las Vegas as quick as possible with two little girls in tow, right? And and made it into California. And even on the drive home from California, we took the middle route on the way back. And we're driving, and the van's running great. And all of a sudden, we're driving on a flat tire. And I couldn't tell you how many miles we drove on a flat tire that never went totally flat. I don't even know how this all happened. And yeah, Jesus, thank you, Lord. But long story short, just to end that, it was a fantastic vacation. But everything that was done was spontaneous. It wasn't overthought. It wasn't overplanned. We just kind of went with the flow. It was just kind of ebb and flow, you know what I mean? It was perfect. It was perfect. And when we got home, we were rested. We weren't overly tired. We weren't caught up in the rat race of society and everything you got to do. I mean, anybody got the aunt or uncle that you're meeting for vacation and they're like, listen, at 9 a.m. we're going to eat breakfast. At 10:30 we're going to go there. And then at 11 we're doing this. At 12 we're doing this. At 1 o'clock we're going to meet up again. At 2 o'clock we're going to all separate for a minute to catch our breath, take a shower. And then we're meeting back up at 3 and then at 4 and then it's like, whoa. Shut up already. Are you serious? Anybody ever been there? Right? Yeah. Listen, it stops us from moving out. Oh, I know a guy who, remember, overthinking kills dreams. I know a guy who had a dream to open a restaurant. And you know, restaurants are one of the riskiest businesses there is to open. It is one of there. Most businesses that fail, or most restaurants that open, fail than succeed. And anyways, in talking to this guy who was going to open this restaurant, he says, "I have dreamed about this restaurant so much, I already know how to run it." And anyways, he's opened the restaurant and he's doing great. Amen. But just not overthinking things, because, and this is what I remember, the perseverate, that word perseverate, the continual thought. And it could be a bad word because you're thinking on the negative. Here's the other thing that takes place in our life. We allow the what-ifs to prevent the could-bes. We allow the what-ifs to prevent the could-bes. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, what if it's an ands, we're pots and pans? Hear what I'm saying. What if, everything is a what if, guys. If we allow the what ifs, we will never step out. What if Peter didn't step out of the boat? What if Jesus didn't hang on the cross? What if the disciples didn't fulfill prophecy based on what Jesus said? I mean, the whole thing is, these things. What if the woman with the issue of blood thought to herself, perseverate on the thought, I have blood issue, I'm dirty and unclean in front of the Jews, I can't go out there, I've had this disease for 12 years, I'm just going to die with it, it's going to be an issue, I'll never get better. What if they look at me funny? What if I don't get healed? What if? But instead, she allowed the could be to happen. Could be you go out in faith and receive your healing. Could be you step out and you find full freedom. Could be. So don't allow your what-ifs to stop the could-bes. You could be absolutely amazing. You could be set free for good. You could be joyful. You could be more than a conqueror. Don't allow the what-ifs to stop you. Somebody in here has a dream of doing something, but the what-ifs stop you from doing it. The what-ifs debilitate you. The what-ifs put you into worry. Worry equals anxiety. Anxiety equals doubt. Doubt equals fear. Fear equals depression. And that equals dreams being killed before the dream can even become a goal. You see, you got to have a dream for that dream to become a goal. Once you have a goal, then you can put it into action. But we overthink things, and the dreams never become a goal, and they never come to fruition because we never take a step forward. What if the police overthought apprehending the bad guy? What if the firefighter overthought running into the burning building? What if the first responder stopped and overthought going to rescue somebody who was drowning or in a car crash? You see, there would be a whole lot of lives that were lost if police and firefighters and first responders overthought things that could happen. In my 9 years in the military, we were trained consistently over and over and over again to react instead of overthinking things, to just do it. Just do it without overthinking. Well, what if this happens? Don't overthink it, just do it. Could you imagine? You see, this is what happens. Here's an important note. Armed services, the police, the firefighters, the first responders, they all have one thing in common. And this is the important note. They're trained. Amen? This is something that every single Christian can have in common, is that we're trained. Do you see, if we put ourselves, remember Proverbs 16:3? Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. I want my thoughts, the thing that I am dreaming about, to be established in this kingdom. If I am trained to know that the enemy's been defeated, then that's going to help me quit worrying about the junk that takes place in the world. If I am trained that by my faith I am saved through grace, then that's going to take the worry and concern about me going to heaven away. If I am trained that I am the head and not the tail, that I am more than a conqueror, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, fill in the blank, the list goes on and on. When you're trained in that and understanding, then the things of overthinking of why does God love me and all this stuff go by the wayside. When you're trained in understanding how incredible you are in God's sight, when you're trained in knowing how much God loves you, when you understand that and that training is solidified with deep within you, then the worry of junk goes by the wayside. Is he going to take care of you? Let me ask you a question. Is God able?
Yes.
To do what?
Everything.
So unanimously just now, I said, is God able? And the answer was unanimously, yes, he's able. But we overthink things and end up putting God in a box. Sunday morning, after worship, in a church service, is God able? Yeah! Monday morning when you wake up and you step in dog poop, is God able? Do you hear what I'm saying? We allow little tiny issues in life to mess us up. Personalize it. Is my God able? My God is able to work through this. My God is able to carry me through this. My God is able. If you're going to overthink something, overthink on how awesome God is in your life. Fix your mind on that and start to see what happens in your life. You will not live defeated in that manner. Amen? You will not live defeated. We overthink God. Is God real? I don't know if God is real. Is God here? Is God with me? Is the Spirit of God really inside me? I don't really know. I don't feel his presence, so I think God has left me. When the Bible clearly says he'll never leave you or forsake you, I don't know if you heard what I just said. We allow our stinking thinking to get in the way of what the Word says. Either the Word is true or it's not. If the Word is true, then quit trying to overthink things. We overthink God. We overthink prayer. Well, my prayers are never answered, so I'm not going to pray anymore. Well, I don't know if God really hears me, so I'm not going to pray. When the Bible says pray without ceasing, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says keep asking, seeking, and knocking. With all prayer and supplication and petition, make your request known to God. It's what the Word says, but we overthink prayer. Or, this is what cracks me up, guys. Prayer is communication to God. And so we go into this thing where we overthink, well, I don't know if I'm praying right. Oh, Father, just talk to God. He's your Father. He loves you and He wants to hear from you. Talk to Him. Quit overthinking prayer. Man, just ask Him. No wrong way or right way, ask God, your Father. And He will give you good gifts. All good gifts come from the Father up above. That's what the Bible says. We overthink grace. Grace. That's greasy grace. Oh, that grace is slippery slope. Oh, grace is too good to be true. We overthink the grace of God, and we debilitate ourselves as a Christian because now we think we got to be right with God based on what we're doing, and then we realize we don't do anything right, and so all of a sudden we're not right with God, and now you have a defeated relationship with your Father. True. Quit overthinking the grace of God. You're saved by the grace of God. Yeah. Believe that. You're saved.
Yep.
Period. Forever. Period. Yeah. Mic drop. Quit overthinking it. Living a life as a Christian is a lot easier than what we think. Well, I think I got to do it this way. Nope. Understand and know how much God loves you, and you're going to want to do the things the good way, the right way. You're going to want to feel and see the blessings because you know how much He loves you. Quit overthinking grace. Here's a biggie. We overthink tongues. Praying in tongues, prayer language. Matter of fact, I'm just going to add in there, we overthink all the gifts. Oh, that was for back then, not now. Only the Bible says God is the same today, yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. But only it happened back then at the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. It's not going to happen now. Are we putting God in a box again? Are we overthinking the capabilities and possibilities of God? Are we overthinking the possibilities of the supernatural? I think so when we do that. Matter of fact, religion would like nothing more than for you to get caught up in that whole mess of junk. Why don't you just believe the Word of God and just step out in it, man, and allow the fullness happen? God wants you to be free. That's pretty simple, right? He does not want us to be our own worst enemy. He doesn't want us to overthink things to the point where we're messed up. He tells us in Matthew 6, do not worry about tomorrow, for today's worries are sufficient. Tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because when you go to bed worrying about tomorrow, you don't sleep. Isn't that a good God to lay that out for us? He tells us, it's like a parent. How many parents? You ever tell your child not to do something? You probably told your child not to do something because it would be good for them not to do it, right? I want this to sink in. You tell your child not to do something because it's not good for them to do. Don't touch the stove because you don't want them to get burned, right? God is saying don't worry about tomorrow because it's not good for you. Did this microphone just like... or did my ears pop? Ooh, there's something cool happening. I can hear! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I'm waiting to see now, Lord. Come on! I am not putting God in a box! I am looking for the miracle because I'm not going to overthink the miracle. We overthink the miracle. Well, was that a miracle? Was that not a miracle? Who's ever heard of somebody or ever had a diagnosis? Doctor said, yep, you got this. You walk away, you pray about it, you come back, doctor goes, must have been a false positive because we can't find it anymore. So then you have two choices at that point. You have the first choice to say, wow, it was a false positive. Or you have the choice to say, thank you, God, for working a miracle in my life. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? I mean, it's God's cool. That's why I love to serve the Lord, because every day's different, and I don't know what's going to happen, man. It's the greatest adventure on life. I have white water raft. I've jumped out of airplanes, man. I've hiked. I've done all kinds of different things, but the greatest adventure in life is serving my Lord and Savior. That is the greatest adventure. Don't overthink it. But here's what happens. We overthink things because we don't want to get hurt again. Right? Right? Oh, you know, I've had this experience before and it went bad. So I'm going to put a wall up and I'm not going to allow myself to get into that situation again. And all of a sudden your mind gets fixed on that. You perseverate on the thought of not allowing something like that to happen again. But the thing is that one thing that happened doesn't mean it's going to happen again. But we move now in fear instead of faith, because we're overthinking the thing that happened before, so we now aren't able to receive actually the fullness of what God really has in store for us, because we've stopped stepping out. Or we've built a wall so thick and so high because of the issues we've had in life that we never allow anybody in, and we can never get back out, so you become your own prisoner within yourself, and you wonder why things aren't working out for you. And you try to work through that thing, and I'm saying, man, break the wall down. Quit overthinking the things of the past. Do you know what keeps someone in trauma? Who's that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever experienced trauma in your life, do you know what keeps you in that trauma? Overthinking it. Thinking about it over and over and over again. If you allow that trauma to work out and step through and you move in the strength of God that lives in you, that trauma can be broken. You don't have to live in it anymore, and you can now step out in the freedom. When we talk about Romans 8:28, all things work to the good who are called according to God's purpose and his will, right? And we're like, all things work to the good. In the midst of your trauma, you're thinking, man, this ain't good. How's this going to work to good? I'm going to tell you what, when you pass through and come out the other side victorious, there is no greater feeling on earth than that right there, man. Because you know that the enemy's got a black eye, you've kicked him square in his face, his teeth have been knocked out, and you're winning. I want to win. I want to win. I don't want to be a defeated individual. So that means I got to quit thinking on junk. And I would encourage you to not think on it as well. Think on the good. Woo! Fear leads to the very opposite thing that we're supposed to live as a Christian. Fear is in opposition to faith. It leads to a lack of faith. What does the Bible say about thinking? I've got a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to be closing through this portion of scriptures. Philippians 4:8. I state it all the time because it's so very pertinent. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right. Or keep your thoughts on whatever deserves praise. Keep your thoughts on the things that are true. Keep your thoughts on the honorable things, the fair things, the pure things, the acceptable things, and the commendable things. That's what the Bible says. Keep your thoughts on that. But what happens is we keep our thoughts on anything but that. We allow issues to cloud our judgment, cloud the way we think, keep us in bondage. And again, we've seen the hands go up. Who has a sleepless night because you're thinking about stuff? We're not in this alone. But we can train ourselves. Remember the training? We can train ourselves to think on the things that are good. Anytime something negative or bad is happening, I remember a guy, he was so rude to me in a restaurant that I love to go to with my wife. He was so rude to me, and when I asked for the food to be taken back because I couldn't eat it, it was too hot. I like spicy, and it was way too hot. It was like fire, man. And he got in front of me, stood over me, and proceeded to talk like this in front of everybody so they understand that they're not going to take my food back. And all I could feel was the world rising up in me. I was feeling like the fivefold ministry getting ready to be released. You know, I mean, five. And all I did is listen to the training that Pastor Weldon has taught me for so many years. I put my shut-up face on. Literally put my shut-up face on. My teeth were clenched. And my wife, God bless her, on the other side was just simply looking at me like, ooh, we better get out of here quick. So I paid the full bill and I even left a tip. Left, and I was so angry. Fighting angry, guys. I mean, wanted to put my fist through the wall. Angry. I wanted to hurt this guy. Just being transparent, Pastor Mike, being transparent. Because I'm not the only one that has these thoughts, right? And as we're driving, I very specifically looked at my wife and said, I don't know what to do. I'm so mad. And then I went, boom, light bulb. I remembered my training. Father, I forgive him, and I pray, God, that you do not even lay it to his account. And, and by just speaking those words, there was this peace that flooded over me. It was supernatural. It was a miracle. It was the goodness of God, and it was the love of God that flooded back over me. Because then I can now relate with this guy going, he's probably had 500 people tell him the food was too hot. He's probably getting issues from other higher-up management saying you can't keep giving free food away. I mean, he's probably been all kinds of different things because there's a reason why he was acting that way, right? But now I found the freedom that I needed. I wasn't going to allow my joy and peace to be stolen anymore. But it had to go with, I had to be trained. But then I had to utilize the training that I've had for years. Father, forgive him. I forgive him. Man, instant breakthrough. Instant breakthrough. To the point where I had more training come from Pastor Weldon that said, because then my next statement was, I'm never going to go back there. Never going to go back there. But then Pastor Weldon, training me up, says, why would you allow the one person to stop you from going someplace that you absolutely love? And I said, point taken, yep. So we have been back several times since. And with that, because I walked in forgiveness, I don't have burden, I don't have fear, I don't have a problem of talking to the person if he's ever in there again. You know what I mean? No issues whatsoever. I'm talking about complete freedom. Complete freedom. Because I fixed my mind on the things now that are good, just right, and noble, not junk. Romans 12:2. Don't become like people of the world. I was like the person of the world right in that moment. Don't become like them. Instead, change the way you think. Change the way you think. I repeat things a lot, but faith comes by hearing. Change the way you think. Bible says that, not me. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Romans 8, 5, and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or worldly minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who wants peace? Huh? Think on the things of God, not the things of the world. Colossians 3:2. Keep your mind on things above, and not on worldly things. Huh. Keep your mind on things above and not on worldly things. Do you think that thinking was important in the Old and New Testament? It is, right? Because how we think shapes our life. How we think on things shapes how we're going to walk out our daily walk. If we think today is horrible, it's going to be horrible. If we think today is a blessing, it's going to be blessed, regardless of what happens. We have to change how we think about things. 2 Corinthians 10:5, our weapons of warfare scriptures, right? We take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. We take every thought captive, every thought that comes in. Is this of God or not? Take it captive and filter it on where it needs to go. If a thought comes in, if it's not a godly thought, take it captive. Every thought, take it captive and then figure out which pile it needs to go into. Pile of junk, pile of good. Are you with me? Every thought. Bible says surround yourself with wise counsel. We are to think on things, right? But we're to think on things that are godly, that are good, that are up and not down, right? Take every thought captive. 1 Peter 5:8, keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. Yeah, I'm waking up and I'm saying, you know what? You are not going to devour me. You're not going to devour me because I'm going to keep my mind clear. I'm going to keep my mind focused. I'm going to keep my mind fixed. I know who I am in Christ. I know the grace of God. I know how much He loves me. You've been defeated. Bye. See ya. No more. Get out of my life. God's in my life, and He's bigger, and He fills me more than you could ever. 2 Timothy 1:7, final scripture. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardness, of craven or cringing or fawning fear, but He gives us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and a disciplined and self-controlled life. Simplicity of all of this. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as a man thinketh, so is he, is also other scripture. As a man thinketh, so is he. So if you think that you are not worthy, if you think that you're just no good, junk, whatever, fill in the blank, that's how your life is going to manifest. But God is telling you you're not that. And I want you, God speaking, wants you to think on things of who you really are, the things above and not below. Get our minds fixed right and step out. I mean, this is so big and so huge. If we could grab this, guys, we would walk more victorious than ever, even through the junk, because we have our minds right. Amen? Let's stand in prayer. Stand in prayer.
I asked Jacob what was going on. He said paramedics were there. His blood sugar dropped. Possible stroke. They're taking him to the hospital.
So as we thought on our brother Jim Cray this morning, the paramedics are there, and he's had some issues. And so we, as a church body, are not going to overthink the possibilities or the what-ifs. But we're going to declare right now in the heavenlies that our brother Jim Cray will be whole and healthy and healed. And Father, every aspect of his body will be orchestrated back to fullness of health. Father, we thank you for a body of Christ that loves a brother. Father, I thank you right now that he is part of a body that reached out to him when he wasn't here. And Father, we thank you right now that the plans of the enemies have been defeated and caught. And Father, we just loose, Father, your glory over our brother in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters that are here today. We thank you right now, Father, that you have given us a mind that can be fixed and focused on you. Father, I declare right now that we declutter our minds, that we, Father, take the junk and the negativity and everything that is not of you and lay it by the wayside in Jesus' name. And Father, we loose, we free, we declare, Father, your majesty, your glory, and your love to overtake us in the way that we walk out this daily life. Father, may our minds and our thoughts be fixed on you and who you are in our lives. Father, if there is someone listening, someone who has walked away from you, someone who does not know you, Father, I pray that they would not overthink who you are and that they would just surrender themselves to you, that they would come to know you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior of their lives, and that they would be refreshed and renewed and walk out this walk of love and life with you. Father, I thank you that you put us in a place of training, that we are educating ourselves to not be victims, but be victorious in you. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And all those in agreement said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.